Okay, good evening, ladies. It is certainly a pleasure to be here. I must say that I was just looking over this calendar, and I am literally blown away by this whole meeting monthly. That people are A, taking away from their busy life to work on themselves, but to deal with topics which most of us go through life and we know about, but we don't work on nearly enough. In yeshiva, there's a big focus on mussar, on character development, on ethics. Really, there's two focuses. One reason a person always needs to have mussar is because it's very easy to lose focus in this world. We all know what we're supposed to be doing, but the reality of life is that we get caught up in the small things and we forget the really big things. I saw a quote recently. It's by a Gentile author, but it's spot on as far as Judaism is concerned. Stephen Covey, many people may have read his book, Seven Habits. He wrote, "Remember, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And for us, as from Yidden, it's very easy to forget that. It's very easy that our ikar, that the main part of ourselves, that we're going to Olam Haba, that this world's only a quarter. And what Mussar really does, what Mussar really allows us, is to remind ourselves what's really important in life, what really we're here in this world for, what life is really about. The second thing about Mussar is the idea of character development. First is to remind ourselves what we're here, and second is to really work on ourselves. In that, there's really three steps. One is what's something called we read Mussar over. We get a breath of it, know what we need to do in this world. Number two is cheshbon hanefesh, to cogitate, to contemplate, to ruminate, to think about what we need to work on in particular. All of us have strengths which we have to maximize and utilize, and we have weaknesses which needs to be worked on as well. And number three is once we're cognizant of what our weaknesses are and how to use our strengths, is to really focus on it. And when I was asked to speak on Shabbos, the truth is I didn't know that you had done Erev Shabbos, so I think I'm going to focus on Erev Shabbos, so that's okay. I didn't get to the calendar or know exactly you did it last month, but I think probably, though there would be some ideas that maybe discussed last month, most of it hopefully we know. But with Shabbos, it's something that most of us, I'm a rav of a shul of 80 families in Silicon Valley in San Jose. I think some of this stuff is probably made a few, or created a few miles away from my house. It's made in China, but it's created there. And there are 80 families and a million people. San Jose has a million people, and there are 80 families that keep Shabbos. In Brooklyn, I imagine there are probably 80 families on this block that keep Shabbos, maybe the next couple of blocks. And both have its challenges and benefits. It's a challenge to be one of 80 families, but it's also a benefit because you really think that Shabbos is all important. Whereas in Brooklyn, Shabbos is pashut. It's something that everyone takes. And most people, as I mentioned, don't work on Shabbos. Many people are excited about Shabbos. Many of us, do things for Shabbos. But making Shabbos into an avodah, into a stress, into something we work on, something we steig from, something we grow from, that's a little bit more difficult. And really, as we'll discuss tonight, it's one of the most important things that we can do in the world, not only for ourselves and our family, but for our own connection to Hashem. So the Torah tells us in a Parshas Bahar, the Torah says a remarkable pasuk, "Shabsosai tishmaru, mikdashi tiroyu ani Hashem." You should watch my Shabbos and be care and fear my mikdash, my temple. I am Hashem. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the great 17th century Moroccan sage. What is the juxtaposition? What is the smicha sakra? Why in the same pasuk do we have the watching over Shabbos and being careful in the base of mikdash? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Nirish miskav and lehasmich mitzvah Shabbos, the mitzvahs shilafanadachsiv lo tasu elilim loimer kashem shavar zara shkula kol chalatera. Just like doing idolatry is as if you're breaking the entire Torah, so too the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, is equivalent to the entire Torah. Right? That when a person focuses on Shabbos, it's as if they're focusing on the entire Torah. And indeed, the Rambam, Maimonides, now the Rambam in Mishnah Torah has 30 prakim. For the Rambam, that's a lot. If you learn the Rambam, he doesn't usually have 30 prakim on anything. But the Rambam has 30 prakim on Shabbos. So we know there's lots of details, lots of laws on Shabbos. I'm not sure if you do halakha ever, but it's, well, Shabbos is something you need to do correctly. You need to study the laws. So Rambam finishes the whole 30 prakim of Shabbos. He says as follows: HaShabbos v'avodazara ko'achas v'shtem Shabbos. And on the other hand, idolatry, both of them are keneged shar kol mitzvahs. VaShabbos is yois sheben HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'inenu le'olam. Shabbos is the sign between us and Hashem forever. Lefichach, therefore, zach the Rambam, therefore explains the Rambam. Kol oiver shal mitzvahs harihu b'chal rishi Yisrael. Person who breaks all the mitzvahs is a rishi Yisrael. Someone who transgresses and breaks the Shabbos, since they're breaking all of Torah, and the same thing, for a person who keeps it, it's as if they keep the whole Torah. But the Rambam says a remarkable thing, that Shabbos is an oisi. Rambam is talking to a crowd in his generation, all from people, is an ois between us and Hashem. Indeed, the Kotzker Rebbe, the great 18th century leader of Polish Jewry, remarked that observing Shabbos properly does not mean dressing in one's Shabbos clothing, eating Shabbos foods, and resting on that day. In order to observe Shabbos, a person has to be constantly aware that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. If you want to be keeping Shabbos, it's not eating cholent or having kugels or cakes, or even dressing up, or even going to shul. You want to keep Shabbos, you have to remember that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, the Chavetz Chaim. And Allah Torah says, gives two mashalim, two parables to explain this. Parable number one is as follows. Zok the Chavetz Chaim explains the Chavetz Chaim. He says, you want to know if a marriage is going well, or if an engagement, for example. So you see the chassan and the kaila, the bride and the groom, and they're talking amongst each other, and they're getting along. And then after a while, you don't see them talking. But you know one thing, that as long as the kaila, as long as the bride is wearing her engagement band, things are going well. They're still engaged. But the minute she would give it back, the minute she would give back that engagement band, you know that the engagement is over. That means it's all over. Says the Chavetz Chaim, that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is this ois between us and Hashem. That the minute we have Shabbos, we have this connection to the Ribono Shalom. If we give back Shabbos, right, we'd be giving back that relationship. He gives another mashal, he gives another parable. He says, you know, when you go to a store, you want to know the store is open for business or not. As long as the store sign is up and has hours, etc., you know that the store is open for business. But the minute they take down the sign, it's as if the store is empty. Now, for us, you know, I'll be very frank. I have conversations. My shul has people, you know, who finish Daf Yomi, many people finish Shas. There are also individuals who are first starting to keep Shabbos, Bali Tshuva. And I deal with all kinds of community people outside. And very often I'll say to the person, do you believe in Hashem? And if they're actually in the Bay Area, there are many people who don't believe in Hashem, and that's a different conversation. But there are many people who do believe in Hashem. So then if a person's ready for it, I'll say, well, what about Shabbos? And I'll say to them, and I'll send them to Thomas Rambam, right? Shabbos is a reminder that God created the world. If you keep Shabbos, what you're really saying is you believe that Ribbono Shel'Olam created the world, and you have a connection to Hashem. If you don't keep Shabbos, right, you're not cognizant, you're not aware of that. But you know what the funny thing is? I learned from Lakewood Yeshiva, learned from Mir Yeshiva, Shara Torah. I've had this conversation with B'nai Torah. I've seen Bachram come every summer to me from Shara Torah. And he discussed Shabbos, and most of us never think on these terms. We don't go into Shabbos thinking, today is the day where I'm reaffirming that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam of the world. And as the Chatz Kerubi says, it's not enough to get dressed for Shabbos, to eat for Shabbos, to rest on Shabbos. Right? That on Shabbos we're supposed to remember that Ribbono Shel Olam fears the veil. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, how God created the world, He rests in the world, and that's the main thing of Shabbos. We're supposed to rejuvenate our Amunah, our faith, on Shabbos. We're supposed to come into Shabbos in a changed mind frame. And if we're not doing that, then we're not really keeping Shabbos, as Chatz Kerubi said. Then we're missing the basic fundamental of Shabbos. We can eat the most delicious foods. We can dress to kill, right? Or dress just because of it, even better, right? Right? We can sing Zmiris. You can sing Zmiris, and you can never think about this. You can never, it's possible to put on a great show and never think about what the real message of Shabbos is. And the real message is that it's a relationship to Hashem. It's a connection to Hashem that we're supposed to be reminding ourselves. Now, we think, you know, of course we do that, but it's not as simple. When the Chatz Kerubi was talking to his chassidim and saying this, it's possible to go to a Tish and do the whole thing and never think about Shabbos Hashem. Now we think about if I break the Shabbos, but never think about that the whole keeping of Shabbos is a reminder that Ribbono Shel Olam fears the world, Hashem created the world, Hashem's involved in the world, and that's what I'm doing on Shabbos. To think that that's the purpose of it, that's our connection to Hashem. And because of that, because the focus is this connection between us and Hashem, Shabbos has the most kedusha, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan was the Rav of Nevardik in the later half of the 19th century. He was the brother-in-law of the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. And his work on halacha is one of the most important halachic works of the past 150 years. And the Aruch HaShulchan starts his works, his halachas on Shabbos, with the following statement. Aruch HaShulchan, Kedusha Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos. Because again, the holiness of Shabbos comes from this concept that we're recognizing it's the oath between us and Hashem. Is Lamaila Mikol HaKedushas, more holy than any other holiness in the world. Uvirchasa, and the bracha from Shabbos, the bracha of Shabbos, is Lamaila Mikol HaBrachas, is greater than any other bracha. Therefore, it was sanctified and blessed from the beginning of creation. As the Torah tells us, it's Yom HaShivi'i. First blessing we find in the Torah is by Shabbos. And God sanctified from the beginning of creation Shabbos. V'hi mikor habracha l'kol yom yisachol. It's a source of blessing. Source of blessing for all of the days of the week. Therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Nitztavu Parsha Shabbatorah, the Torah says in multiple parshas talks about Shabbos, more in all over the place, B'shalach, and Yisro, Mishpatim, Chisisa, V'yakol, Emor, B'eschanan. Why in all these parshas? L'hoiros, Shekol, Shiva, Yemei HaShavua, B'Shabbos, and the rest of the week is dependent on the success, the Kedusha, the holiness, the greatness, the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the connection to Hashem, is dependent upon Shabbos. Therefore, even in the weekdays, for those who say the whole davening, at the end of the davening, we say every day, Hayom Yom, today is Shabbat Shabbos, of Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan then continues, I'll just say it very briefly, I don't want to go through this whole thing. HaShabbos hi ikar emuna, Shabbos is the foundation of faith by Kodesh Baruch Hu, of God. Shabbiro Elom lo b'sheishis yamim, it's the foundation of faith that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So when you talk about Shabbos, the Torah tells us, how do we keep Shabbos? Right? So again, Shabbos has, you know, again, if we're not thinking about Shabbos, if we're not thinking what the meaning of Shabbos, and for us, again, you know, I mentioned in the beginning, it's very easy to live and lose focus. It's so easy, which is why a class like this is so fantastic and so wonderful. And just coming, anyone who comes to a class like this is Mizbarach from Hashem for putting time in to think about things. But when you think about Shabbos, right? It's, as I mentioned, it's very easy to lose focus of what Shabbos is really here for. It's to connect with Hashem, to remind us about Hashem. And sometimes you just go through all of the motions and forget what the where it's supposed to lead us to. You know, like the Alter Mikelem used to say, sometimes, you know, you can stick a red string on your finger to remind you. My wife changes her ring, you know, wherever she puts her ring. But he says, like, I mean, very often halacha is to remind us of something. But if people put the string on the ring on their finger, or they change their ring, they forget what it's there to remind them about. All of the halachas of Shabbos is to bring out this connection to Hashem. So I wanted to discuss, actually, I saw, if anyone memorized this, they would get really good, really, get really far ahead. It's really remarkable. I didn't realize it would be taught on Erev Shabbos, but I want to do focus on Erev Shabbos, because I think that if we have the right perspective on Erev Shabbos, really it could be transformative of Shabbos itself. If we're prepared on Friday, then Shabbos itself could be that much better. So Torah tells us, talking about Shabbos, Sheishes Yamim Tavod V'Asisa Kol Malachtecha. Right? You should work for six days. You should do all of your work. Kishatavo Shabbos, you benecha kilo kol malachtecha asuya. Shabbos comes. Rashi brings down the Medrash. It should be that as if all of your work is done. Shlo tzahar achar hamalacha. You shouldn't. And Shabbos comes. Nothing. Zero. Zilch should exist. You know why? Because we just discussed it. Shabbos is this opportunity to connect to Hashem. It's the holiest day. Holier than Yom Kippur. Holier than Yom Kippur. Right? It's the holiest day of the year. It's the greatest opportunity to reaffirm our emunah in Hashem, to connect to Hashem. What could be more important than that? What can be comparable to that? And I always say, every year my show, I always tell people, Esaras Yemei Teshuvah, 10 days of repentance, why in the world would you put extra time in? Of course, if the deal is closing, you have no choice, you have to do it. That's a shtablis. But everything's going to be decided on Yom Kippur. Focus on Yom Kippur. Focus on Yom Kippur. That's the whole DNA of potential for the year to be Yom Kippur. But when you come to Shabbos and a person's cognizant, a person's aware of, appreciates the opportunity of Shabbos, the importance of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, right? Nothing can compare to that. Nothing is important to that. Anything else is like, the Gemara compares the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, to a fly. Like a fly. And the Farshim discuss, why is the Yetzirah compared to a fly? So, and the answer perhaps is, you know what, the fly is still involved in something really, really important. Like, really important. All of a sudden, like, a fly starts buzzing at them. And then they start looking around, and, like, they lose focus. They can be, like, the most important. Like, I've seen adults on tables, like, chasing flies, right? Like, normal people, because a fly pulls away your attention. And when you think about what Shabbos is, nothing's as important. So says the Chafetz Chaim, says Rashi, Kshetav Shabbos, there's nothing that should exist. Right? If it's your wedding night, you don't think about anything. You think about your wedding. Nothing else is really important. Rav Dessler, Michtam Lialo, Dessler, for those who don't know, Rav Dessler, those who don't know, was one of the greatest Bali Machshava people of thought in the early 20th century, and his work is widely studied. In Nechtem Eliyahu, his one piece on Shabbos, and his focus is on Erev Shabbos. His focus is on Erev Shabbos, and Rav Dessler quotes this Rashi, that a person, when they come into Shabbos, nothing else exists. Right? I have two weddings next 2 weeks, preparing these classes in college, so I have weddings often. And I always, when you try to do a chasen kat, sometimes like, they worry about how the dress looks, is the food okay? Like, you just say, like, what are you worried about? You're getting married now. Don't worry about anything else. Enjoy your wedding, right? Focus on what's important. Don't get caught up, hung up on the small things, right? And Shabbos, of course, is this all-important day, is this all great opportunity. And, like, really, that's should be the message. That's Rav Dessler. Ach davar ze nidrash malda. This is what Hashem wants from us. So Hashem, like, we think, this is like a nice thing. Sheish Hashem Tov, Rashi's bringing that. This is our expectation to strive for, if not there. You know, again, what we're supposed to aim for, what our goal is to be. Right? Avdavar is a nidrash malda. This is what Hashem wants from us. She Hadvikusu b'kedusha Shabbos, that our connection, our dveikus to the holiness of Shabbos, tia kol gedola, should be so great. Sha'afim yamor be'erev Shabbos. Even a person would be sitting in Erev Shabbos, be'emsa esek godol, in the middle of a great deal. U'machin me'oid, and it's very busy. K'sheyichnas ha'Shabbos, right? When Shabbos comes, lo yimatze b'nafsho shum netiyas ratz l'arukha. It's not going to think about it. Doesn't exist. Not important. Why? Ki lu'umois. Lu'umois. Oitzim kedusha Shabbos. Compared to the tremendous holiness of Shabbos. Kol divrei ha'olam hazeh. Ka'ayin v'chavet nashon. It's not important. It doesn't make such a big difference. When a person is cognizant, aware of how great and how important Shabbos is, this doesn't make, it's not that important. It's kind of like that wedding. Stop worrying about if the steak is really cooked. If your sheitel looks so I can't appreciate that, but right? If your makeup, enjoy. This is what's important. Shabbos, Kusha Shabbos, Ki Kulam Ke'echad. Anything else in this world is only a focus. Everything in this world, when you think about it, that we're eating, we're sleeping, we're dripping, we're drinking, we're making a living, it's all to connect to Hashem. Right? God, that's what we're here for. Right? Our purpose in this world, our existential reason for living is to connect to Hashem. And there's no bigger, no greater, no more bombastic opportunity than that, than Shabbos. That's only everything in this world, whatever it may be, is to get us to the tachlis to connect to Hashem. Shabbos, and Shabbos, if you hit Shabbos correctly, you hit the tachlis, you hit the purpose. Gather Shabbos, says Rav Dessler, Shabbos is a knisa gemur l'ruchnis, is the beginning of spirituality. I heard many years ago from a veteran person in Kiruv, told me, if you want to save someone from intermarriage, you gotta get them to keep Shabbos. Not kosher, and not. I've been in the Bay Area for many years. Again, my shul is a from shul, but since I'm there and I deal with a lot of people, and the reality is, if you don't keep Shabbos, right, then you're in danger. It's only that part of the world of losing who you are. And for ourselves, who are zoicha to be in a world where Shabbos is pashut, simple, it's second nature. But it doesn't change the fact that the whole beginning of spiritual growth is Shabbos. If you want to know how we're doing, the litmus test is how we appreciate Shabbos, how we come into Shabbos, what we gain and what we glean Shabbos. It shouldn't be that we're the same person when we left Shabbos than we came in. We're supposed to be different. It's supposed to be transformative Shabbos. Right? Because Shabbos is the Pesach, is the beginning of all of Ruchnias. As the Aruch HaShulchan said, it's the most Kedusha. Just like all of us would feel bad if we went to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we didn't feel changed. Who wouldn't feel bad? It should be, of course, the difficulty, or the challenge, I should say, is that Shabbos is weekly, right? But that's the opportunity too. That's the greatest opportunity. We can shteig, we can grow, we can blossom from the weekly Shabbos. And that's what we should be doing. So Kedusha Shabbos is lachto gamotei chamaisa, and if Shabbos allows us to be put into a motion to grow, to shteig, to blossom during the week in Ruchnias as well, then he embellishes on that as well. And the truth is, I didn't know, by the way, I'm impressed, you even did Erev Shabbos, I didn't realize you did that. But Rav Palm, and in his Rebbe, in his older contemporary, the Rabbi Yaakov Metz used to say that in America, we've conquered Shabbos. By the 1970s, 1980s, they were willing to say that today, in the frum world of Shabbos, we've got Shabbos back. But we still, they used to say, we still haven't got Erev Shabbos back. We still haven't accomplished what should be the musog, the idea of the avodah, of the service of Erev Shabbos. That Erev Shabbos allows us to gain on Shabbos itself, the preparation on Erev Shabbos allows us to come into Shabbos on a higher level. there are actually many halachas in Shulchan Aruch about how one should prepare on Erev Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim in the Be'er Halacha discusses, is it deraisa? Is it biblical in nature? Is it derabbanan, perhaps it's rabbinic? But according to all, it's actually a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos. And here's the question. There is, with possibly the exception of one or two holidays discussion, it's really not a mitzvah to prepare for anything else. Right? I know Chassidim, by the Chassidim, preparation is all important. But in real life, mitzvahs doesn't exist by other things. And the question is why? Why is it so crucial by Shabbos to have a mitzvah to prepare? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus in his Sefer brings down a remarkable thing. He says, the way a person gets Shabbos, appreciates Shabbos, is the preparation for it. That to the extent that a person prepares for Shabbos and is excited about Shabbos, that's how much Kedusha, that's how much growth they'll get from Shabbos. That means you cannot walk into Shabbos and say, I want this connection to Hashem. I want to come into Shabbos, and Shabbos should be so transformative. You know what it's like? Because again, it's not my metaphor, it's not Rav Pinkus' metaphor, it's Chazal's metaphor. Shabbos is like a wedding. Imagine coming to your wedding ill-prepared. You don't have a dress, you don't have the caterer, you don't have the band, right? So you won't go into your wedding, it won't be the wedding. And even if you're not excited about the wedding, it's not a wedding as well. Shabbos is compared to the wedding. Says Rav Pinkus, to the extent that a person prepares for Shabbos, and the extent that the person's excited about Shabbos, that's how much Kedusha, that's how much holiness, that's how much growth they'll gain and they'll glean from Shabbos. The Stipler going from Bnei Brak 25-30 years ago, so he pointed out that because Shabbos has, and again for ourselves, if we remember what Shabbos is about, has this idea of emunah, of faith in Hashem. There is, as we go through Shabbos, we think that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rests on the seventh, and that He's constantly recreating the world. Shabbos has the ability, the capacity to atone for any sin. To atone for any sin. And why is that? Why would Shabbos have the ability to atone for any sin? Do you have questions on this? Any ideas? Why would Shabbos can atone for any sin? Anybody? Neshama Yisrael allows us to gain and to glean from Shabbos.
You keep comparing it to a wedding, and the day of the wedding is considered like a personal Yom Kippur.
That's very good. Right, that's an approach. That's an approach. And that means that it has this tshuva effect, and Shabbos says tshuva, yeah?
Maybe when we atone for a sin, we're coming closer to Hashem, and that's the whole point of Shabbos, is to reconnect ourselves with Hashem.
Good. Anyone else? So on that note, when a person sins, whenever a person comes to sin. So Chazal, our sages tell us that the only way a person comes to sin is nichas bas ruach shtus. You lose faith in Hashem. If you saw cameras on all sides, they're being recorded like I am over here, right? So you're not going to do anything wrong. So what happens? You lose faith for a moment, right? If you imagine that God was looking at us as we benched, trust me, you know, we would sit there slowly, right? We'd say a bracha. We would feel Hashem when we're doing it. We would act differently. So when a person messes up, when a person does something and errors, it's because they lost focus for the moment. Shabbos reminds us that Hashem runs the world. And therefore, Shabbos has the ability to atone for all sins. Shabbos has the capacity, because it reminds us that Hashem is the world, that strengthens us, and that is a tikkun, a rectification for anything we did wrong. That's what the Stipler said. Rabbi Moira Mashkich from Laker Matzal Salman, he points out that that's only if a person prepares on Erev Shabbos. If a person prepares on Friday, then they can benefit from the power of Shabbos. And Rabbi Matzal says, he says, I actually saw this once to say Zera Kodesh, that's why we start Kiddush Friday night. Yoyim HaShishi VeChul Shema. Why do you say Yoyim HaShishi? Why do you say the sixth day, Friday night at Kiddush? Right? Says the Matisyahu, says the Sefer Zera Kodesh, because Shabbos, it starts on day six. Starts on the sixth day. Therefore, if you prepare an Erev Shabbos, prepare on Friday, you'll gain from Shabbos. And that's why at Kiddush, Friday night, we say, Yom HaShishi. In fact, the Svarim, the works bring down the Torah, for example, the Torah, the great late 13th, early 14th century German and Spanish sage whose code was the precursor Shulchan Aruch. So he springs down in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the famous story of Shammai. Shammai, throughout the week, would go to the store, look, and he sees something nice, say, oh, this is great for Shabbos. If he found something better the next day, he would say, oh, I'll go ahead and use this for Shabbos. And every day he was remembering Shabbos. Whereas Hillel, his contemporary, he would say, no, I'll use everything on this day. And when Friday comes, I'll buy from Shabbos. That's what the Torah brings down. The Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, quotes many opinions that in this case, we follow Shammai. It explains why we can follow Shammai. Because there's an idea that every day of the week, a person should be thinking about Shabbos, being excited for Shabbos. Indeed, the Ramban says, it says, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, the Pasuk we said before, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, you should remember Shabbos to sanctify it. He says you should remember it all the days of the week. And he says that's why we speak about Shabbos every day. Most of us, I'm talking about Friday we should be ready. Most of us don't think about Shabbos on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. But if we realize what Shabbos is, if we'd be cognizant, we would appreciate what Shabbos is, what the potential would be, right? The bonanza that Shabbos affords to us, certainly we'd be thinking about Shabbos throughout the week. The Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi won't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. And the Gemara says the reason is so people will be so busy preparing for Shabbos that Eliyahu can't come on Erev Shabbos because it would throw off all of our shopping for Shabbos. That's how important Erev Shabbos is. So I just want to discuss some of the ideas about Erev Shabbos in order to get us to the next level. Actually, there was a famous sage called Zalman Baran. He was a tzaddik who lived in Yerushalayim about 100 years ago. And this Zalman Baran, you heard the story? Zalman Baran, so he was known to live it up on Shabbos. He would go ahead, he was a poor, like most Jerusalem Jews were 100 years ago, he was a poor Jew. But Shabbos, he was a rich man. He had 5 types of fish. He would have beef. He would have all kinds of fruit platters, and this is not with the stores you have in Brooklyn. This is like, San Jose, we have one kosher store and one kosher restaurant, right? He had to make big efforts for all of this. And he had all his kids involved. He would all have his whole family involved. They would repair the wicks. They would shine the light to his kids. And they would be all excited. But Zalman Baran said that the highlight of his week, where he felt Shabbos come in, is right before Shabbos. He was not a wealthy man. He cleaned his clothes. He didn't have new clothes on Shabbos. He would take out his shoelaces, his weekday shoelaces, put in his Shabbos shoelaces, and say, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. That was this spiritual Jew's highlight of his week. When he changed his shoelaces, and he said, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. This is in honor of the Shabbos. This is to prepare me for the Shabbos. And if you look at the Rambam brings down the greatest sages, right? If you look at the all-time favorite sages of the Talmud, all of them were intimately involved, very busy people, in preparing for the Shabbos. The Shlah and the Chidah both bring down, in fact, I saw this even on the calendar, that one should say when they're preparing for Shabbos, this is L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. This is in honor of Shabbos. Why does a person do that? Because when we articulate that, when we say it out, it helps us mentally prepare for Shabbos and be excited for Shabbos to realize that this is what we're doing and how important and how wonderful it is. The Shari Tshuva, right? When I was younger, I used to play on the basketball team when I was in Miami, where I grew up, and I had a coach. I used to always say, "No pain, no gain." I know everyone hears that, "No pain, no gain." And really, with Shabbos, the extent we push ourselves, like in anything in spirituality, that's really the gain. The Shari Tshuva, who was one of the great halakha codifiers of the past 500 years, Shari Tshuva says, to the extent that we sweat for Shabbos, right, it wipes away, like tears do, any averus you may have done during the week. The Divrei Yoel Asat Merov said that preparing for Shabbos, right, saves a person from the travails of Mashiach. So, As I mentioned, first of all, the first thing is to give time for Shabbos, right? To stop early in the day and to have time to prepare Shabbos. Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't come on Friday for this reason. There's a famous story by the father of the Ramah, Rabbi Isser, right? Isserla, right? So Reb Isser was a businessman. Rama actually grew up, he was relatively wealthy. For those who know who the Rama is, right? The Rama was, of course, the Poisek for Ashkenazi Jew of the 16th century, Rav of Krakow. So Rama was actually wealthy. He had his own kolel. He supported people. And the Rama got his money from his father. The Rama's father, Reb Isser, was a devout Jew. He was a tremendously devout Jew. And every single Friday, he would end his business day at 12 at Chatzais, at Halakha Chatzais, period. It didn't make a difference. Like Rav Deshla said, because when you weigh out what's really important in life versus Shabbos, it didn't make a difference to Reb Isser of Krakow. Well, one day, he got a knock on his door. It was a couple hours before Chatzais, a duke. Now, today, you know, a duke is like Warren Buffett. We have dukes in San Jose, like, you know, Sergey Brin or Mark Zuckerberg, right? These guys, a billionaire came into his store, and he asked him about his father, Reb Isser, for the greatest order he'd ever have. Literally, he's taking out the store, taking down box and another box, and it's going on, and Chatzos happens. And Reb Isser tells this duke, right, I have to stop the order now. I have to stop the order now. And Duke looks at me, are you out of your mind? I'm buying out your store. If you don't finish the deal, take 15, 20 more minutes, I'm going somewhere else. You know, if you can come back on Sunday, I have a, Shabbos is coming, Chatzos, 12 o'clock halakhic time, right? I gotta go. The Duke walked out of the store and took all his money business with him. Now there's different, Sfarim say different things. Some say he had a dream, some say, that Rama's father said it. But within a year he had a son called Ramesha, right? And it's said that his schos, that the merit to have the Rama, the leader of Ashkenazic Jewry, was in the merit of that, giving up that deal. And I always thought that, you know what the Rama is called? Ramesha Isserless. Ramosha, the son of Isser, because the merit that even tonight, I sit over Rama, right? The merit of his father is eternal. What would that deal have got him in the end of time? Right? The merit, Ramosha Isserless, the son of Isser, that we learn his Torah, we learn from him, is that his father stopped at Chatzais because Shabbos is more was more important. Now, I didn't see this anywhere, but I think it's always a good thing. And, and certainly the Sfarim bring down that music. So I always say, a good idea Friday is turn on music. Why turn on music? I drove yesterday to my Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Kamenetz, with my kids, 7 kids in a car from Brooklyn to Philadelphia. 2 ways is not easy. Jet lag kids too, right? Trust me. So you know what I did? Actually, my sister-in-law was very kind. She gets all kinds of things to help us out. But 7 kids, young kids, car ride to Philadelphia, back and forth, not easy. Turn the music, it's a different vibe in the car. It's a different vibe, it's a different preparation. Certainly, the old custom is to shiram on Friday, to sing zmiras. You come on a Friday, it should be music. These are ideas, but we'll get to the halakha parts in a minute. Music has its an ability to allow a person to connect on a ruchnius level and to prepare a person as well for Shabbos. A person should be psyched up for Shabbos, right? Excited for Shabbos. So music is helpful. The Gemara brings down in Baba Kama that one of the takanas of Ezra, one of the 10 things which Ezra said that what we should all do, is that women should bake challahs for Shabbos. Right? Women should bake challahs for Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says that the reason is because it's we know that Chava caused Adam to sin on Erev Shabbos, and as a rectification for that, a woman should go ahead and bake challahs for Shabbos. The Yaivitz, the great Rav of the 18th century Netherlands, brings down it's because of the lechem upon the showbread, which is changed on Fridays. But either way, right, it's a tremendous idea. The Satmar Rav once said that if a Yiddish woman would know how much Kedusha, how much holiness it would be to bake bread for Shabbos, the bakers would not sell one challah. And he wasn't talking about San Jose. He's talking about Williamsburg, right? Now, again, of course, if it's anything, which is stress, a person, there are times where everyone needs to buy challahs. But most of us, you know, we taught Erev Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. Most of us today, we look for conveniences, right? And for working, it could be that it's not feasible for many. But to the extent a person could be challah, right? This is what Ezra says to do, right? Not so. So that's what Ezra says to do. You want to know how a person could tap in, prepare for Shabbos? Baking challah. You know, they just had the Shabbos project, right? Shabbos project. So my mother told me, actually, I think South Florida won the race to the most. They had 6,000, I think, people, something like that. 6,000 people bake challah. 6,000 people on a Thursday night came to bake challah. We had the whole South Florida do it together. It wasn't just one community, right? Says 6,000 people. By us, I'll tell you the reality, you know, we, even if we have time, sometimes we look for conveniences. It's the reality. But if you want to tap into the ability or power of Shabbos, baking challah is not a new fad. It's not a new thing. It's the Ezra Sofer. It's in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Right? It's such an important thing. I take that my words are being accepted. You know, everything that goes well, the phone starts going on. You know, the something that's been catching. Right? So it's such a new thing. I once saw a story. I don't think it's in any of the Sfarim in Rav Pinkus. It was so bombastic, so unbelievable, so mind-boggling. You know that Rav Pinkus' wife, Shem Shimshon Pinkus' wife, Allah Shalom, she was once talking to her neighbor. It was Yud Aleph Nisan. It was Yud Aleph Nisan, 3 days before Pesach. And Shabbos was between, I think Pesach was on Monday night, and this neighbor asked Rebbe Tzin Pinkus, so, have you started cooking, have you started getting ready for Pesach yet? Like, what have you made so far? Which dishes have you made for Pesach? So Rebbe Tzin Pinkus told her, she said to her, getting ready for Pesach, it's still Shabbos. I'm baking challah today. So she said, are you serious? Pesach's Monday night, right? So she said, no, of course. My husband always tells me, how can we give up a kavanah Shabbos? Not only that, she said that her husband didn't want to use paper plates. When you realize, appreciate what Shabbos is, how could you give up Shabbos? And now this is levels, by the way. Which I guess I don't think about if I'm telling this story in the house, you know. I'm not just sedacious, but it's appreciation. What one Shabbos is, or Pinkus. Appreciated what Shabbos is. I saw a similar they brought over that there was one of these Erev Shabbos is before Pesach. They finished preparing for Shabbos. So they said, oh, so let's do Pesach things. Said, absolutely not. Right? Shabbos. This week, Shabbos is here. Shabbos is holier than Pesach. It doesn't mean you can't keep carrying your Pesach. But why would you give up even on one Shabbos? Why would a person want to give up on one Shabbos, Pinkus says? That's a Yid who lived and loved Shabbos. But even after you have to bake challahs right before Pesach, this idea of tasting the food, right? If you don't want to do it, I'm sure that many husbands are, I always volunteer in my house, taste the food before Shabbos. There's that concept, it's a mitzvah to bring a tamich to taste the food before Shabbos. Actually, I have this one. Taste the food before Shabbos. So the Muki Or HaChaim says, the reason why is to make sure the food tastes good. Right, you should want to go ahead and make sure it's so important that the food's good on Shabbos to connect that you want to try to taste the food for Shabbos. But even with that, it's actually halacha in Shulchan Aruch that from the ninth hour of the day on, person's not supposed to have a meal, not supposed to wash. Now, I mean, you can have a snack if you're hungry, but not just a meal. Why is that? Because you're excited for Shabbos. The main meal is Friday night. The main meal is Friday night. In the winter, actually, it's supposed to be even a little bit earlier. The ninth hour is, it depends on the day. Obviously, in the winter, it's based on a 12-hour day. So in the winter, it'll be a lot shorter than in the summer. But that's halacha and shulchan. You're not supposed to wash. If you're hungry, just to have a small snack. But again, it's all part of this being ready for Shabbos. You know, certainly, I know this will make the Mexicans on Bedford Avenue happy. There's actually, brings down the Medrash, you should buy flowers for Shabbos. You should beautify the table for Shabbos, right? To go ahead and buy flowers. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch bring down really the table. It's actually Thursday night over here. Very impressive. It doesn't have to be Thursday night. If you're working on Friday, you can do a Thursday night, great. But your table should be set coming into Shabbos. That's what's brought down. The table should go ahead and be set before Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah also brings down that a person should bathe for Shabbos, then get completely dressed for Shabbos for the ladies, and then light the candles. It shouldn't be, and actually the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Shner Zalman from Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, also brings down it's improper, really, to dress in a robes and slippers for candle lighting. When a person appreciates what candle lighting is, it's the first act of Kedusha Shabbos. Right? It's all effort. It's all excitement. It's all getting ready for it. It's all appreciating what Shabbos is. I know, you know, some of these things, it's all ideas, and obviously, you know, to the extent we can take it, it's great. But all the effort, every ounce, every bit makes a difference. Whenever you go to Gedolim these days, it's a little bit backwards, you know. People usually go for brachas and skulas, you know, or real, you know, life challenges. Most of us don't go on a day in, day out, you know, to ask basic questions or take advantage of that. You go to Gedolim, typically you see people asking for skulas or brachas. So Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, Shlita the Gavol Hador from Bnei Brak. So people come to him all the time and they ask him what they can do for a shidduch, what they can do to have children, what they can do, you know, to get for refuah shlema for things. And obviously, when everybody says these stories, there's no guarantee. But what he does tell them is number one, eitz is as follows. He bases it on a story of the Chafetz Chaim. There's once a family that they had been married for 15 years and they had no kids. And they decided, in no kids after 15 years, they're going to go to the Chafetz Chaim and ask for a bracha. And this family went to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha. They traveled from Vitebsk for days just to get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. And they went to the Chafetz Chaim and they started crying to the Chafetz Chaim that they had been married for 15 years and they had no children. Right? It was before fertility and IVF and any, they had no children. It didn't look too optimistic. So the Chafetz Chaim looked at the wife and it was Bela and he said to her, "Do you light candles before Shabbos?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "How many minutes before?" She said, 18 minutes before Shabbos. He says, "And why do you light 18 minutes before Shabbos? Why do you light before Shabbos?" So she didn't know what to say. So he opened up a Chumash, he opened the Parshas Vayeshev, which we read a couple weeks ago. And it says, when Yosef told his brothers and his father's dreams, so the Pasuk says, "Va'aviv shomer es hadavar," that Yaakov was shomer es hadavar. Yaakov watched over what Yosef said. But Rashi doesn't say shomer means watched over. Rashi says that Yaakov anticipated. He waited for when Yosef's words would come true. So the Chafetz Chaim then opened in Devarim. It says, "Shomer es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho." Shomer, the same word of Shomer es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. You should wait. Wait for Shabbos, said the Chafetz Chaim. Wait for Shabbos to sanctify the Shabbos. That's how a Jew keeps Shabbos, said the Chafetz Chaim. He said, but you look at the next pasuk. It says, "Ata uvincha uvitecha." You, your sons, and your daughters. So the Chafetz Chaim told them, "Shomer, if you wait for Shabbos, ato vincha mitzacha." Actually, we say this in Zmir, it's Shomer Shabbos, habeinu mabas, right? That's what we say, Shomer Shabbos, right? So Chafetz Chaim said, "Shomer, you wait for Shabbos, ato vincha." That this family went back. It's all good. I blame all these Apple people for this. This family went back to the Vitebsk and they started keeping Shabbos an hour early. They took in Shabbos an hour early. And within a year, they had a child. The Chafetz Chaim was wont to say that don't come to me for bracha. Shabbos is the makor bracha. We say that in Lechad Adi, Rosh Shlomo Halkovich. Shabbos is the makor bracha. Shabbos is the source of all bracha. It's the source of connecting us to Hashem. It's the essence of Yidin. It's the essence of Emunah. It's the greatest opportunity. Everyone who's in this room, right? Everyone who's in this room, we all want to connect to Hashem. That's why we're here. Think about, I gave you many things to do on Tuesday night, right? But you want to, we want to know how to do it. It's all here. It's Shabbos. It's Kodesh Mikol HaYomim. It's more holy than any other day. It's more a source of a bracha. It's a reminder that Hashem creates the world and everything is from Hashem. That's why Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, says the Zayar. Shabbos is the name of Hashem, says the Zayar. Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. It's the source of all bracha. It's the source of all blessing. And that's why the metaphor for the world to come is those who prepare for an Erev Shabbos, go enjoy Shabbos. You want to take advantage of Shabbos. The bracha of Shabbos has to be Yom HaShishi. It has to start before, ideally even before like Shammai. But certainly Friday, if we get Erev Shabbos, then we're zoicha to get Shabbos itself, which is the greatest Makor HaBracha. And as our sages said, if we prepare for Erev Shabbos, we'll be zoicha to get Shabbos. My bracha to everyone here is that we should be zoicha, all of us, to shtag, to grow from Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the biggest bracha, right? It's the biggest gift that we have. The Apta Rav once said, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud, that Shabbos is a matana. God picked one gift, and the gift is Shabbos. That's the gift Hashem gave us. Zokta Apta Rav. What does it mean that Shabbos is the gift that God gave us? He says, as much as we prepare, as much effort as we put in, it's still a bigger gift. It's still a greater gift. We should appreciate the gift. It's not a gift, as the Chatzis Rebbe said, of eating and drinking and resting. It's a gift to bring Hashem into our lives. We should be zoicha to take advantage of Shabbos. And through Erev Shabbos, we should be zoicha for bracha, of all the bracha Shabbos, for ourselves, for our family, and for Klal Yisrael. Do you ask questions? Questions? Any questions? Yes.
There's a big movement by many women to hold chatzos, to start keeping Shabbos at chatzos. And they really, I know many of these women, it's not me, but many of these women really feel there's such a difference going into Shabbos when they start chatzos and stop their malacha and just do things.
Right. So, this is, so thank you for that question. I just want to say one thing. You know, I everyone has their specialties. I guess one of the things I do a lot is I have all people at different levels. Really, I have people coming from no background, and within a few years they're covering their hair and married to Bnei Torah. People really end up in San Jose, which is a frum place, who came from more modern circles and actually also become frum. And the most daunting thing of anything in life is when you look at something as mission impossible. So I always compare, in general, ruchnius to lifting weights. You know, if you go to a gym, is a kosher gym in Brooklyn still
exists?
Not anymore. There's always opening and closing. Okay, you know, it closed down. Okay, well, there's a gym, right? Imagine. So you go to a gym, you see people lifting weights, right? And you never lifted weights before. You see people pick up a dumbbell, you know. A person doesn't say picking up 200 pounds. 200. What most people do is they don't apply themselves. They give up. So I always say, if you want to gain and glean something, the way you grow in lift weightlifting is you do a few reps. That's something you can handle. You build off of that, right? And then you do it enough and you go up to the next level. And you do it enough to go up to the next level. And with Shabbos, is the same thing here. And Chatzos, if a person could do that, he named unbelievable. Fantastic. But what happens is, you know, sometimes we can't do chatzos, but we could do a couple hours later. All the things I said, if, you know, I imagine what Marash Saviva or any of these programs should be doing is take one or two things, the things we talked about. If a person does one thing for Shabbos that they didn't do last week, it will improve the rest of their lives. Improve the rest of their lives. You know, the one loss of this, and this is fantastic, is that you only do it for a month. Right? Because it could be that we think we work on Shabbos for a month and another month. Right, but Shabbos is a lifetime's work, and I always knock. You know, we think as Orthodox Jews, you know, we keep Shabbos, kosher, blah 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 blah, blah, and we're done. Right, Shabbos is an avodah. Shabbos is a lifetime of work. It's a lifetime of work, right? And it's weightlifting spiritually. So you know, a person to take a thing or two, whether it's chatzos, but you can handle that. Many do with little kids. Their kids don't even get home before school before that, right? But whatever it would be, to take something. Pick one thing tonight. Come into Shabbos and do it for a month. Then do something the next month. I mean, I would even suggest, I'm not here to suggest that, but you know, for Mereshes Aviva, a person should be taking one thing a month and going through the calendar and seeing, am I doing that one thing throughout the year? Right? It shouldn't be that we listen and we don't take anything on. Right? Take something which is real, take something which is doable, something that's practical, something that will improve ourselves, and continue it. Right? And then through that, you know, a person will eventually get to a chatzos or whatever it may be. Well, the key is to take advantage, to take something they'll do and be able to successfully and then build off that. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you.